talking about compassion and antidote to fear and worry, is that the same as developing perspective, meaning that you know, you get stuck in your particular, you know,
okay. Is it the same as developing perspective? It's related to that, but it's not exactly the same. Because developing perspective puts our own problems in perspective, and we see that our own problems may not be so great. But compassion goes a step further, as it is concerned about the happiness and well-being of others. So compassion is active. Compassion is reaching out to do something to help. Okay, and then your second question?
I find that I'm most not compassionate about lack of compassion, which makes me doubly not compassionate. So my question is how do I develop more compassion for lack of compassion?
Okay. I think most of us have this problem that we get very upset with people who aren't compassionate, especially when they aren't compassionate towards us, you know, or when they aren't compassionate towards causes that we think are important. I think what's important here, what I've discovered, is that people who are harmful, people who do mistaken deeds, people who lack compassion at one time or another, it's because at that moment they're in pain, they're in misery, they're suffering. Okay? When people are happy, they automatically do kind things for others. When people are happy, they don't think of damaging others. So somebody who lacks compassion and causes problems, they do it because they're hurting inside, because they're confused inside. So those people are especially the people that we should have compassion for, because compassion is the wish for sentient beings to be free of suffering and its causes, and they are definitely suffering at that time. So how wonderful it would be if those people whose minds were so small because they're suffering and their small minds draw them inwards and make them lack compassion, how wonderful it would be if they could relax, if they could open their heart, you know, if they could feel the love that others were giving them, and if they could feel love themselves towards other people. Okay. So I think just a process of seeing the suffering of those people and really wishing them well and wishing them to be free of the impediments of their compassion. But we need to practice this, okay? I can't give you a pill that's going to make it happen. My son is converting to Christianity. Should I respect his decision? I think we should respect people no matter what religion they are. Yeah? That from a Buddhist viewpoint, and this is actually one of the things that drew me to Buddhism, is Buddhism doesn't say, rah, rah, Buddhism, everybody should become a Buddhist, and if you don't become a Buddhist, you're going to hell. Okay? Buddhism is not like that. Buddhism is extremely tolerant and respectful of other religions. And I think that's one of the pluses. And especially in a multi-religious culture like Singapore, I think religious harmony and religious tolerance are extremely important. In our world in general, those things are very important. So if one person finds another religion more suitable to them, that's good. Let them be that. If somebody's converting because, you know, they have better dances and they can meet a girlfriend better, you know, with the place of it, that's not such a good motivation for changing religion. Okay? The religion may be very good, but a person's motivation isn't very clear. Yeah? So or if somebody's being coerced or forced into changing religion, if they're doing it because of peer pressure, that's not good for that person themselves, because their faith isn't really coming from their own heart, and they're going to face obstacles on the path. So, you know, if you believe that somebody's doing something but they aren't completely wide open and their motivation isn't very clear, you can try and, you know, ask them questions or introduce them to people who might help. But if people's motivations seem very clear, you know, as long as they're living an ethical life, as long as they're not creating harm in society, we respect their religious beliefs. So how to differentiate sufferings caused by past karma or present action? Actually, all of our sufferings, all of our problems are very often due to both, okay? That there could be something that we've done recently, there could be something that we did a long time before. It's hard to say, but in any case, it doesn't matter whether it's a past action or a present action, because past karma just means past action. Okay, karma isn't some magical thing, it's our actions. So no matter when we created it, you know, if we created, you know, actions that have been damaging, then we create the cause of our own suffering. Yeah, if we create actions that were kind, then we create also the cause of our own happiness. So whenever we have a problem, you know, I think it's helpful to recognize, hey, I created the cause from that. Whether I created it recently or a long time in the past, my own energy is involved, and so why get so upset and angry about it? You know, for example, when somebody criticizes us, sometimes we get so angry. How can they criticize me? Poor me. Nobody else has been criticized like this. It's not fair that they criticize me. Is there anybody in this room who has never criticized anybody else? Yeah? How come we complain when people criticize us when we've all criticized other people? How come we're surprised when people criticize us when we criticize people all the time? Okay? So we have to accept responsibility. If I just go and, you know, comment on everybody's behavior in a very negative way, why am I so surprised when people criticize me? No reason to be surprised. If I want people not to criticize me, I have to stop criticizing them. I have to stop creating the cause for it. Oh, somebody's saying people suffer because of bad karma and karma cannot be changed, so they deserve to live with fear and worry. I don't agree. Okay, yes, people suffer because of bad karma. That part I agree with. Karma cannot be changed. That I disagree with. Karma can always be purified. Karma is not cast in concrete. Repeat, karma is not cast in concrete. Yeah. What karma ripens at a specific time depends on what we're thinking and doing. It depends on many cooperative things, you know, cooperative conditions. Also, if we do purification practice, if we regret our past negative actions, then we can cut the energy of that karma and, you know, we don't have to experience the adverse effect. So karma can be changed. And if we say people deserve to live with fear and worry, how uncompassionate can we get? You know? Because if we say they deserve to live with fear and worry, then we also have to say, I deserve to live with fear and worry. Who feels like that? Who deserves to live with fear and worry? Nobody deserves it. Everybody wants to be happy. Okay? Yes, you have a question?
Good evening, Panelo. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who, she just employed a maid. She treats the maid very well by giving her whatever she wants, she asks her. But then the maid starts to steal things from the house. Mm-hmm. So she's asking me what?
What do you do? You say you're stealing things from the house. You say, my things are missing. Where are they? And if somebody's not doing their job right, you let them go. You can let them go.
And the maid pays a lot of money to come here. So she tried not to be nasty, but in the end...
But you don't have to be nasty. When people are doing dishonest things, you can be kind and you can be firm, but that doesn't mean you ignore what they're doing. You have to say, excuse me, but some things are disappearing from the house. Do you know where they're going? You know? Or if you know for sure and you have evidence that somebody's stealing, you say, I have this evidence. You know, it's not compassionate to ignore somebody's non-virtuous actions. You have to say something. But you don't have to yell and scream at the person. You don't have to insult them and denigrate them and cause them suffering and make them feel like an idiot. You know, you can still treat somebody with respect, but at the same time say, look, we have a problem here we have to deal with.
Thank you.
How can we live in the present moment and still make plans for the future? Okay, we need some plans, okay? You know, we have to have some plans. So you make as many plans as you need, but you don't let your mind start twirling around the plans. And you don't start living your whole life in the future, making one plan, an alternate plan. Because some people are like this, you know, well, I could do this and this and this and this, or well, maybe, no, I could do that and that and that. Maybe, no, this is third offering, I could do this. And so they're never here right now because they have too many plans and they don't know which one to choose. Okay? So you don't want to let your mind go to that extreme. But if you need to make a plan for something, if you need to go somewhere, if you're working on a project, you need a plan, you make a plan, okay? So in the present moment, you are making the plan, and then once your plan is made, you start carrying it out, and you're being aware in the present moment as you're carrying out your plan. So if we try to be kind to people that we don't like, aren't we being hypocritical? But if we ignore them, then we're not being kind. Okay. So let's look at the first part. If we try to be kind to people who we don't like, aren't we being hypocritical? The trick is we have to not just try in our actions to be kind, we have to create a kind attitude. That's the important thing. If we're just acting kind, but inside we're thinking bad things, that's hypocritical. But the purpose of Dharma practice is to transform our attitude, to change the way that we think about somebody. So we're not just acting kind, but we're beginning to think in kind ways about them. I gave a talk in Idaho a few weeks ago. And during the Q&A part, there was a little boy who was there. He must have been, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 years old. And he raised his hand to ask a question. So his question was, you know, there are some kids at his school that nobody likes. And does he have to be kind to them? Yeah. And I said, you know, it might look like nobody likes them, but that person surely has some good qualities, you know, because everybody has some good qualities. And I said to him, if you try and be friends with that child, you might discover that they're actually a very nice person. And it was what was very interesting to me afterwards, you know, this little boy took it in and he thought about it. And afterwards, an adult came up to me and he said, that kid put all of our adult questions, he asked it. Because we say, you know, there's this guy at work that nobody likes, do we have to be nice to him? You know, so I thought it was incredible, you know, that he really saw that the question that the child was asking was also his question. And so the whole idea of, you know, trying to see something good in another person and trying to befriend a person that other people pick on. And I think that's important because if we make an effort, we can find something good about everybody and something that we can cherish about everybody. Okay, so is there an advantage to living without fear and worry? I think definitely. When you're afraid, are you happy? When you're afraid, do you think clearly? When you're worried, are you capable of solving problems? Okay?
Is there an advantage for people to grow intellectually?
Ken, is there an advantage of that you grow intellectually by having fear and worry?
You said you have to overcome your own fear and worry.
Yes, I think it's definitely to our advantage to overcome our fear and worry.
So is there an advantage to fear and worry?
So it is an advantage to have fear and worry so that we can overcome fear and worry? So maybe we should create more fear and worry so that we have more advantage to overcome it. I don't think we need to create problems. They come all by themselves. Okay? The idea is when a problem happens, we transform it and we say, now it gives me the opportunity to overcome it. But we don't go about deliberately creating problems and sufferings for ourselves. Okay? What's your view on the use of anti-anxiety drugs, which doctors sometimes prescribe to reduce fear and worry? That's an interesting question. I think it's going to depend on the individual and on the doctor. You know, for some people there is a chemical imbalance in the brain that needs to be corrected by medication. And I think it's, you know, fair enough and quite beneficial if that's the case, if it's a, you know, if it's a physiological imbalance that's causing the problem, then to take medication to correct it. What I would hate to see happen, though, is for people to think that their mental difficulties can always be cured by pills. I think that's very dangerous in society, this trend to think that, well, I have no responsibility for what I'm feeling, it's just the chemicals in my brain. Okay? And I think that when we think like that, we disempower ourselves and we lose confidence. Whereas, you know, I think it's very important to recognize that, you know, there are methods to mentally work with our fear and worry, and we should use them. And even if you use an anti-anxiety drug, we should still use the mental and spiritual methods for dealing with anxiety and with fear and worry. Okay? In other words, I don't think as a society we should make ourselves so dependent on drugs. I think that removes... It makes us lose confidence as human beings and removes our own feeling of power and control over our own lives. Yeah. So, like I said, in some cases they may be good. In other cases, I think people really need to work with their own mind. And in a third case, I think people need both things, you know, maybe some medical thing and maybe a way of working with their own mind. Okay, so we're going to have to end now. I'm sorry, there's still a pile of questions here, you know, and people waiting in the audience, so I'm sorry that I'm not able to answer all the questions. What I'd like to do is just have a couple of moments of silence now at the end as a way of letting everything sink in. Okay? So let's just take a moment and come back to our breath. Okay, and try and just observe your breath and be really content to observe your breath. So try and be in the present moment, okay, and just be content to sit here and breathe. So let's just do that just for a minute. And as you're breathing, wish everybody well. Just generate the thought, may all beings be well and happy. May all beings be free of suffering. And just let that thought come into your heart. And then let's dedicate the positive energy, the positive potential that we accumulated as individuals and as a group this evening So all this positive karma that we created together, let's rejoice in it, and then let's dedicate it. Let's send it out into the universe. Okay? And through the force of this positive energy that we've created together this evening, may each and every living being be at peace within themselves. May each and every living being be able to be peaceful and live together with everybody else in a respectful and tolerant way. May each and every living being be free of cyclic existence, develop their inner human beauty, their Buddha potential to the fullest. May everybody become fully enlightened ones. Okay, so thank you all very much.